Good afternoon to all, and welcome shareholders to this call. We have not had any specific questions, but management have felt it important that we give shareholders the latest update. The presentation that you can see on your screen will be on the website later today. So just moving to slide two, just thought we will be covering this in a lot more detail in the presentation, but I thought it important just to revisit a couple of key areas in general. The new management team came into play April-May 2019, and we had a capital raise at that stage fundamentally to fix certain parts of the plant and to just bring some professionalism back into the operation, get the mining more aligned, etc. And that was largely achieved. We set aggressive targets for 2019, largely achieved, and we'll touch on those a little later in the presentation. During that year, and I think we've said this several times, that we clearly had to get the economies of scale right at Blue Rock. The resource could handle a higher volume, and we felt that as long as we could modify the plant, and it was critical to step it up. And we did a lot of work during the year planning for that. And we came back into the market in February 2020 with an expansion program taking us up from the 400 to 750,000 tons. And we were able to raise capital to get going on that project, which we did. But shortly after having started, we had COVID-19. The plant was closed for plus minus 6 weeks. We had no diamond sales for 3 months. And the initial sales that we were able to achieve showed up in the region of between 15 and 30% drop in prices of our run-of-mine diamonds. So it clearly had a material impact on our cash, which we've highlighted in this presentation, and we'll again talk a little bit to it later. We'd managed to move the second plant that we'd purchased on site, and everything was, as we've indicated, ready to go. From that period, we were looking at how we could get the mine back online. The South African government allowed mines to come back from early May under certain conditions. We felt that we could meet those, but critical to us was to look at how we could sell the product, and we went out and looked at trying to find people that we could deal with, agents in Antwerp, because we felt it would be a better chance of being able to sell our diamonds there with the South African tenders closed and still closed. In addition to that, because of the uncertainty in the market, we felt it critical that we look at some sort of finance arrangement linked to our revenue flows that would help us have a time to sell the diamonds if we needed it, although the plan is still to sell at best price as soon as possible. In addition to that, as a result of that, we were able to bring the operations online in around about the 10th of May and very successfully. And they've run well since that point. Our big focus, both in the first quarter and when we've come back online, is the combination of the KV1, KV2 into our main pit. And Gus will talk in some detail to that later on, because it really is a major step in terms of where Blue Rock Diamond goes. We then decided at that point that it was critical that we continued with the expansion. It's fundamental to shareholder value as we move forward. And we looked at the cash flows going forward and this necessity to de-risk certain areas with the uncertainty of the market and we decided to go out and raise capital, A, to make sure we could complete the expansion, which we've now upsized. And again, we'll talk a little bit to that. And B, just to have a stronger balance sheet with the uncertainty both in the market and obviously with the ongoing COVID-19 issues, both in South Africa and around the world. If I'll just move to slide 3. That slide really just demonstrates, as I said, the success in 2019 in all areas. And I'm not going to go into detail there, but one can see from that slide the grade, the dollars per carat, the tons particularly were critical. And obviously, as a result of that, the carats produced. Going on to slide 4, just really a reminder to shareholders of the asset that they have. We've got 7.7 million tons resource, and we'll certainly believe there's a lot of upside. And again, we'll talk to that a bit later on. It's a very critical area. But we've got very high quality diamonds still, you know, in the top 10 in terms of value per carat. We're seeing big diamonds coming out as we'd expect. And once we get more and more into pure kimberlite where we are now, that ratio should improve. And our sales price clearly in the 2019 year at 415 just demonstrates where we sit. A recent deal with Botswana Diamonds and Petra, I think, announced this morning. Again, the mine there is 35 carats, but it's a $50 per carat general sale. So, you know, it just emphasizes the quality of career flow diamonds. And in a market that's pretty tough as we move forward, the ability to sell, I think, will be linked to that quality. I just wanted to touch on the marketing arrangement that we put in place, not from the detail side, which David will cover, but more along the lines of when we joined up and decided to go with Bonus. The key for us really was they have a mine to market philosophy. And so your total production will be sold independently at the tender houses. And it allows the buyers, both from a governance perspective and from what the Bonus say is a very appealing aspect, is that they can see from your total production sitting out on the desk, from the worst diamond to the best. And it seems to carry a lot of weight if you've got this quality that Career Flow has. So we're very excited about that aspect in terms of future marketing and the sort of prices we can achieve out in that market. The slide 5 is our three-step growth strategy that we've had out for some time. That hasn't changed. We're in section 2 of the expansion. We have moved it up from the 750 to 1 million tons, basically by further de-risking the plant with a bigger crushing circuit, and we'll go into that in a bit more detail. But fundamentally, we're moving in the direction we want. We've just had this sort of 3 months hiccup that really threw everything out of kilter. I'll now hand over to Gus, who's going to take you through the first half 2020 results and a few other details on the ground there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I'll just take over and pretty much expand a little bit on some of the key highlights as mentioned and highlighted by Mark. If you just look at the Q2 results generally, you will see that from a volume point of view, the results were quite exceptional, and we managed to average out at 1,800 tons per day. And if you look at the operating days of only 50 operational days for the quarter, because of the stoppage which we had as a result of the corona or the COVID-19 pandemic, I think achieving the 90,000 tons in those relatively short number of days was quite exceptional. I mean, we've always highlighted the need for us to create flexibility within the mining operations, and our focus since quarter one has been to to combine the KV1 pipe and the KV2 pipe into one single unit. And all the mining has been focused on making sure that that happens. And we can say that we've pretty much finished all that work. And as we speak, KV1 and KV2 is operating as one unit. Because of the process and the mining plan which we developed, that saw us having to mine some lower grade material, which was sitting on the upper benches, which is your 10 to 30 meter zone, which is quite a high calcrete level. So we expected the grade to go down, and we've been reiterating on that the grade will go down. We have since mined the majority of the lower grade material and processed it. And as at this stage, as we speak, we've already started seeing quite a decent recovery in terms of grade as we move down back to the 30, 40 meter horizon across both KV1 and KV2. I can just highlight, I think it will be announced that we have already picked up quite a good quality 12 karat stone as part of us getting into a more better ground, which we processed recently. And then that pretty much sums up quarter two. I'd like to basically speak more in terms of, you know, the expansion plans and the reasons why we sort of like tweaked our expansion plan. In quarter one, we announced that we were going to expand. And I think at that stage, we're looking at expanding the mine to around 750,000 tons per annum. And that was going to be achieved by a combination of the existing plant and the Nomvista plant, which we purchased during quarter one. But having looked at the size of KV1 following the mining which we did, we realized that the KV1 pipe is actually running at about plus or minus 25 to 30% larger than what we hoped. And the opening up of KV2 made us just sort of like take a step back to re-optimize the mining throughput and re-optimize the size which the mine can be operated at efficiently with the right flexibility and sustainably. And that saw us pretty much tweaking the existing plan to a 1 million ton per annum operation, which can be achieved by just improving a little bit in terms of our original thought of the expansion plan on the primary feed end, which is your primary crusher. By improving a little bit of that, without really no major increase in terms of the capital requirements, that saw us pretty much gain another 20 to 30% throughput by tweaking the plan. And the new design which we are putting across, because it's going to be a dual line, it creates flexibility in terms of the plant running times, creates flexibility in terms of engineering maintenance, and we believe that some of the changes we are doing in the primary crushing setup will allow us to mitigate the issues around wet weather much, much, much better compared to some of the challenges which we are facing during the rainy season. So we then focused on that, and we sort of like parceled that aspect of the project as phase one, which we are hoping that we are going to focus on during the second half of this year, so that by the end of quarter four, we will have finished and commissioned the run rate of plus or minus 1 million ton per annum, with initial feed primarily coming from the combined KV1, KV2 pit. But as part of the expansion program, I mean, the emphasis is also just making sure that we enhance our profitability by reducing our costs. I mean, one of our biggest cost structures is diesel, which is the running of our generators. And with us increasing the size of the mine, means that our burn rate for diesel will be also much higher. We've concluded a supply agreement with Eskom earlier on in the year. And what we have done now is that we've phased that to a later date during Q1, Q2 next year, where we'll pull in the line. And by pulling in the power supply line to the mine, we believe that this will reduce our overall cost quite significantly. At this stage, indications are that we'll be reducing in the ballpark of about $17 to $20 a carat, just on the savings which we'll have on the power. Also, as part of phase two, is also just to enhance efficiencies. Currently, we are only crashing down to minus 18 millimeters, so we leave quite a substantive lockup in terms of diamonds, which abate the smaller fraction of diamond in terms of size. But the work which we've done with our competent person has shown that we could be living in the region of 1 to 1.5 CPHT only in the minus 18 fraction, which is our cost, because it's quite coarse. And part of the phase two process is to connect up a tertiary crushing circuit, which will recrush the minus 18 down to plus or minus 10 around that millimeter size. And then we put that through the DMS. And that will see us improve our overall recovery quite considerably to plus or minus 90% overall recovery of the contained diamonds within the pipes. So the combination of these will be supported by the work which you have done in terms of the resource. If I can just maybe take it back and just recap in terms of the current size of resource which we have. I think the current stated reserve is sitting at about 7.7 million tons at 4.7 CPHT across all the part. I've already highlighted earlier on that we've seen quite a significant growth in terms of the KV1 pipe, and the work which we have done on the KV1 and KV2 pipe. We are pretty confident that the combined pit can be mined to depth in the region of 120 meters depth, and we are currently sitting at about 30 meters depth. And the contained tonnage within that pipe sits in about 5 million just for the KV1, KV2, which is our quite, and those two pipes represent our high-grade pipes. The resource statement as signed off by the competent person is only sitting at 65 meters for KV1 and 100 meters for KV2. So the upside in terms of the resource upgrade is quite significant, and I think it's going to be quite significant when the work is done by the competent person. On KV3, the current signed off resource only covers 40% of the surface area of the resource. Our intention is to improve this. There's some work which we just need to do in terms of just taking a bulk sample, and we'll do a small box cut in KV3, and which will see us most probably upgrading that 40%. That 40% only represents about 2.6, 2.7 hectares out of the 5.6 hectare size of KV3. I think Mike touched earlier on about Botswana Diamonds, and I was seeing that their pipe, which they announced earlier on, is only 3.5 hectares, and they, I mean, they have declared a resource of over 16 million tons on it. So this just sort of like indicates, you know, the potential which we have if the right work is done into KV3. KV5 pipe has always been our sweetener because it contains quite a coarse sizing in terms of diamonds, and also the quality of diamonds which come out of KV5 is excellent. It's a small pipe. We've taken quite a big sample on it, and that sample pretty much confirmed all the work which has been done to date. So that KV5 will be put in as part of the mine plan going forward to ensure that we can supply the 1 million ton per annum run rate, which we will need to be at come the end of quarter four this year. Most of this work is still work ongoing in terms of just firming up on the resource statement, and work has already commenced with the competent person, and we expect that we will be announcing a revised competent person's report during sometime in quarter three this year. If I can move to the next slide. I think most of the issues on this slide, I've sort of like touched on them as I spoke about the resource. But I think for me, just to reiterate there in terms of just putting things into context, that the current pit, which is our KV1, KV2 pit, on a 10-meter bench flish height, gives us almost 650,000 tons of ore. So just in 1.5 lifts a year is adequate to supply the 1 million ton per annum which we need. And this just, I'm emphasizing on this point because it was one of the driving forces in us trying to say, look, we cannot get run it at 700,000 run rate because the resource itself can support a much larger run rate, and hence why we actually increased that number to 1 million ton run rate. I've mentioned about KV3 and KV5, but the combined, if you just then sum up what will then happen from 2022 going forward at that 1 million run rate, is that 1 million run rate at the 4.7 CPHT, which is the average resource grade, will make us run at about 45,000 carats per annum at a relatively comfortable strip ratio of below 2, which will range about 1.8 to 1 strip ratio. And I think for our pricing structure in terms of value per carat, this strip ratio, I think, will make us have a quite a relatively sustainable and robust mine plan, and I think the economics will be quite significant. If I just move over, just then in terms of just the key milestone timetables, just to highlight in terms of when this will be done, I think the first three points have already been done. We reviewed our 700K plan, which have now upgraded to 1 million ton, and we did that sometime in June, July. We have completed the work in terms of fixing up KV1, KV2, and they're now already working as one unit, so we can tick that box. We have raised the funding required for us to implement our 1 million plan, and to upgrade the two plants, which we will start now with the work and the construction. As I've highlighted already, we will have that phase of the project finished by end of quarter four. And the quarter one, quarter two, we'll then finalize the reduction in terms of our cost structure by bringing in the power line. And that will see us having a steady state operation doing about 45,000 carats per annum. I think on the previous slide, our current indications that our own mine costs will be running at about at the $190 per carat mark if we are at that stage of running at 45,000 carats per annum. We just got the next slide. I think the next slide we just brought it just to maybe share with the shareholders in terms of what is happening and with what we call the new norm in terms of our operations, where we are now operating within the COVID-19 environment. I think there's a lot of fear in terms of what's happening in South Africa at the moment, where our cases have actually gone up quite significantly. Above the 200,000 mark and still going up. The government estimates that we'll reach a peak maybe sometime in August, September. That's when the peak is expected to be hit. But in terms of where our operations are in the northern Cape, which is the province with the least cases. I think the province is only registered only 2,000 cases to date. Where our mine comes from a small community where most of our workforce comes from. The rest of the workforce is isolated on the mine site, and where the operations are at this is we have not had any cases as yet. We have put in quite some stringent measures in terms of control for access, monitoring, screening on site, the general awareness on site in terms of the prevention of the COVID-19 spread. But I think over and above that, we are also now taking it a step further in terms of the actual community itself, where we are now involved in the education in terms of the prevention, but also providing some of the face masks and sanitizers to the small community where our employees come from. So to try and also just manage the risk so that the risk does not come onto the mine. In the event that it does come to the mine, we in South Africa at the moment we have there's about 5,000 cases which have been reported on the mines. There's not been a single mine which has been pretty much shut down completely because they've reported a case. I think what the authorities and the government are emphasizing is once you, as a mine and as an operation, you establish a case, it's all about the procedure which you put in place in terms of contact tracing, isolation, and making sure that the right plan and isolation of the individual is done. And we believe that because of our low number of employees, our open cast nature of our operation, our widely opened up plant area where we only sit with 10 to 11 employees per shift in the plant. The risk, although it's there, but it's minimal and it's manageable. And we believe we can navigate ourselves through this tough time in terms of the COVID-19 environment. I'm going to hand you over to our finance, David. We'll take you through in terms of the numbers. Thank you.
Thanks, Gus. Just turning to page 12, the when we were looking at reopening the mine and looking at the state of the diamond market, we started talking to Delgado Diamond Financing Fund, which is a specialist fund in America who provide finance, short-term finance, usually, bridging between the production and the sale of diamonds. And we reached a letter of intent with Delgado, which is very simple, in that we, for a cost of 1.25% per month, they will pre-finance at 70% of the market value as determined by our new marketing team, Bonas, in Antwerp. So this gives us two benefits, really. One is in the current environment where the future prices of diamonds is more unclear than usual, it gives us the opportunity to wait whilst prices recover. And secondly, as we are going to be selling perhaps every 2 or 3 months rather than every month, it provides us with the working capital to bridge us between the production and the sale. So this is not in any way meant to be a long-term financing arrangement, but basically provides us with the flexibility to operate with the reasonable assurance that we will have funds coming in to cover our working capital costs. So we are in the process of sending our first batch of diamonds to Antwerp and expect that parcel to be financed in the next 2 or 3 weeks. As Mike mentioned earlier, when COVID-19 hit South Africa, the diamond tenders in South Africa were more or less collapsed, in part because international buyers were not able or willing to go to South Africa to attend the tenders. So we expedited what we had already been planning to do, which was to investigate marketing our diamonds in Antwerp. And having spoken to a number of potential tender houses, we lighted upon Bonas, who are one of, if not the largest Antwerp tender houses. And they attract somewhere between 160 and 200 buyers for each of their tenders. Whereas when we were selling diamonds out of Kimberley, it was around about half of that. And that is one of the reasons why we expect to get slightly higher pricing from our diamonds in Antwerp. And anecdotally, people expect around about 15% higher prices in Antwerp compared with the local price. Clearly, there are some administrative issues in terms of getting the diamonds out to Antwerp, but nevertheless, it's the 15% higher prices certainly compensates for those issues. So, on the advice of Bonas, they think that a parcel of about 5,000 carats is what we should be aiming at. We will be producing such parcels every 2 to 3 months. And we expect the first sale of our diamonds, which will be a Blue Rock Diamonds sale in September this year. Moving on to the diamond market itself. Clearly, the future remains uncertain. India, which is one of the largest cutting and polishing center in the world, closed down for a while. That's now recovering. We expect that the demand for rough diamonds will be lower for the next few months or so, but probably picking up once the Christmas period, restocking up period starts. On the other side of the coin, a number of the larger producers have considerably lowered their productions in order to try and keep the prices stronger than perhaps they otherwise would be. Some of the junior miners have suspended operations. So we have, on one hand, a reduced demand, on the other hand, a reduced supply. As to how that all balances out, I guess time will tell. Our only sale we've made since COVID-19 was a private sale to a Hong Kong buyer, which we sold at $290, which per carat, which we estimate was around about 15% below what we would have got before COVID-19, which we consider to be a pretty good result in the circumstances. Looking forward to where we hope to be once we have completed phase one and phase two of our expansion plan. which, I mean, in terms of our timing, the volumes we expect to be running at the 1 million tonnes per annum run rate by the end of the year, and we expect the extra cost savings to come in during the first half of 2021. We expect to be running at an annual volume of 1 million tonnes at a grade of 4.5 or thereabouts, which arithmetically adds up to 45,000 carats per year, assuming $400 a carat, which is lower than our historic average, but clearly higher than the current market price, gives us a revenue of about $18 million compared to the £4 million of revenue we had in 2019. As Gus mentioned, you know, once all our cost-cutting, cost reduction measures are in place, we expect our total South African cost to run at around about $190 per carat. So even at the current price based on our one day sale of around about $300 per carat, there is still a relatively healthy margin. So Mike, I'll hand over to you just to sum up.
Thanks, David. Just really to summarize where we are, I think with management very, very excited about where we've positioned the company despite the impact of COVID. And, you know, it'll give us very strong news flow over the next 12 months as we progress the project and work our way through the market. And I just want to touch on some key areas. Obviously, a big upside on the resource. We'll have an announcement in quarter three, but we're very confident that the resource will step up materially. The main pit is now fully operational. It provides enormous flexibility, and the cost to get that ready has been expended. Cost both in the lowering of the grade in the first half, but also in the waste mining that's had to be done to get to where we are now. The plant, the new plant will be a lot more robust, and the recovery moving from 70 to 90% of the diamonds in situ is a major development. On the marketing side, as David has touched on, I think this developing this partnership between Blue Rock Diamonds and Bonus, we're really excited about it. Clearly in the short term, it's going to be challenging, but in the longer term, it offers material benefits, I think, for shareholders. The short-term financing that we've put in place versus the revenue flow, I think, is de-risks a number of areas and gives us the flexibility, again, David mentioned. And obviously, the stronger cash in the bank, giving us the, you know, the means to get the project done. And also, if there are any future hiccups, you know, being in a position to deal with them. You know, I think in terms of value, that last slide, you know, at 45,000 carats and under $200 a carat speaks for itself. And you know, we would, you know, shareholders can, you know, see that through. The margins are very, very exciting. And as always with diamonds, there's the chance of the very big, high-quality diamond everyone dreams of. We certainly believe they're there. We've just got to find them. It really just takes for me to thank you for listening in, and we hope this has been of value to you. And as we said earlier, it will be on the website if you wish to have a look at it in more detail. But thanks to all, and we'll report back as soon as we have news on anything important. Thank you. Okay.